This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Awaken us, dear Lord, to the gift of life. Awaken us, most holy one, to the beauty of your creation. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and bodies and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. If my helpers could come up, please. We have a few things to put in place. I have three sounds for you to play today. Right here. On up here. It's my son Andrew and Alyssa visiting from Jacksonville, right over there. And that one further over. This one. Thank you, too. Give them a hand, everybody. So the three sounds, I'm hoping, will give you three different ways that we can interpret this scripture. The first sound, let me make sure this doesn't fall. I'm going to take off my microphone here so you can hear it. I'm going to play it twice. Here's the first time. First sound. The second sound is that. And the third sound can you hear that in the back? Yeah? All right. So let's hear them again. I think you'll see as I go along. Today begins the Advent season. It's a day where we prepare for the coming of the Christ child. And today is dedicated to the idea and the feeling and the very act of hope in our lives. And I think that it's kind of odd, if you didn't know the reasoning behind it, why on the first Sunday of Advent we hear such a doomsday, end of time, judgment day gospel to start off what we in the church call a new year. The first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of a new year in the church calendar. So why the doom and gloom scripture? And it's that way every year, though they change the selection from year to year. Today was no different. Remember how it was with Noah and the ark? People were going about their regular lives, eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. So, the three interpretations then, the first one is this idea of being swooshed up, right? Just swooshed up into heaven. Back in the 70s, there was a video where it actually showed people in the fields and in their kitchen cooking, guy cutting grass, and all of a sudden, the woman is swooshed out of her kitchen because it was the rapture. Oven's still on, nobody tending it. The guy is whooshed out of his front yard cutting the grass. Lawnmower goes across the yard. And that is one interpretation of this text. The rapture, left behind. Some will be taken, some will be left. It was made popular several years ago by a book of the same name, the Left Behind series. So that's the first perspective. The second perspective is to look at your death as a day of judgment. Order in the court. Do I find you guilty or not guilty? You know, the scene where you go up to heaven in the pearly gates and Peter's there deciding whether to let you in or not. Or a big throne where you kneel before the Lord and it's decided whether you get in or not. It kind of goes against everything else that we hear about in the scripture, about a loving God, about not having to earn God's grace or love, and that we are loved anyway and loved through our challenges and our mistakes, and yes, our sins. And yet, we perpetuate that and continue to do so. And there's one story by Annie Dillard, who's a great writer, and she wrote about this same kind of idea translating into Santa Claus. They'd been getting ready for Christmas all through Advent, and they'd been preparing their house and hanging the stockings, you know, at the fireplace, and they were out on Christmas Eve, really late one Christmas Eve, and they came back and they were so excited, and she especially, she was just a little girl, came into their nice warm house and was so happy to be home, and then all of a sudden there's this knocking at the door, and her parents started saying, "Who's here? Who's here? Who's here?" Open the door, and they had had a friend dress up like Santa to surprise her. Well, she was panicked and ran up the stairs, said she'll never forget it, because she remembered the words to that song, "You better watch out, you better not cry, you better watch out, I'm telling you why," right? He knows if you've been good or bad, and she knew that she had been pretty bad, that she had been naughty in her eyes, and she was afraid of that judgment in that moment because she equated Santa with God. She said, she'll never forget it. She'll never forget it. I think all of us may have contributed to that mentality. There's a third perspective that calls us to wake up. To wake up to the presence of God right now, right here. To take this Advent season as a pause, to reflect, to get rid of anything in our lives unlike God, to embrace all that Jesus Christ stands for in readying our hearts, much more than being swooshed up by some alien God or being judged with such vehemence and separation. Listen to how John Burgess, a professor at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, describes it. And I quote, "The point is not to speculate about a day of judgment sometime in the future, whether at the end of all humanity or at the death of each individual, but rather to confront us with God's radical claims on us here and now. Each day is a day of judgment. A day of discernment. So I should always be asking myself, am I living in the way of Christ? Am I trusting in Christ alone? Have I allowed myself to be distracted by selfish cares?" End quote. We're being given a wake-up call today. A wake-up call to prepare for the new birth of Jesus Christ once again and always, over and over and over, as we let those things die out that we know don't serve us, that whisk us away, and we embrace those things that bring hope and peace and love and comfort and compassion for other people. Now, whatever you know in your personal lives right now, whatever you're going through, whatever's going on deep within your own souls, I'll bet you can think of emotional and spiritual experiences in your life that have molded you, that have molded your very being, Maybe an unexpected tragedy or a breakup of a relationship. Maybe some trouble with the law, loss of a job, or a new challenge in a great job. Maybe the death of a loved one or the birth of a baby. Maybe it was falling in love. Something that changed you. Herbert O'Driscoll, one of my favorite priests, wrote this about today's gospel that speaks to that. Just suppose in this scripture that Jesus is saying that at an unexpected hour there comes into all of our lives something that moves us deeply, that demands we come to terms with it, that forces us to be accountable about what we have and what we are, that will turn us back to what we really are to believe, that will require a grace beyond ourselves, if we are adequately to respond. Suppose this is true, then maybe our Lord is saying to us, keep spiritually awake, be spiritually ready. End quote. And I would add, be awake to how much you are loved. Really knowing that, let that guide your life and lead you in all ways, and then quite naturally, you'll want to share that with other people. That's the gift that the Christmas season's going to bring us after the 25th of December. In the church, we hope that that won't be before the 25th of December, though everything in our society will show us otherwise. This is a time of beautiful, beautiful introspection and contemplation about how you are loved and how you are to then love others. My sisters and brothers, I invite you to a holy Advent, a time to take stock and allow yourselves to draw close to Christ's love, to stay awake, to pray daily, to notice the present moments and leave anxiety behind. And if you need help with that, maybe dealing with the loss of a loved one or memories that come up at this time of the year especially, ask us for help. There's lots of help available. We're all in this together. Realize that you're never alone. Nobody knows when our last days will come. And Jesus is telling them, as he did in the very first line of today's gospel, that no one knows but God. Jesus didn't even know. So he's saying to us, don't worry about that. Worry about today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Live now and give me all of you, he's saying. For he gave all of himself to us. Say yes to my way, my truth, my life in you, and you in me. I will always be here. I will always love you. And I will wait as long as it takes. Let us pray. Awaken us, O Lord, to the beauty of your love for us, to the beauty of this day, to the joy of life itself. And then use us, we pray, in compassion for others and all of creation. Amen.